And a special hello to Michelle. Good to see you. Okay, always a pleasure to be here. It's always a very special pleasure for me to be at Children for Women, which is really a great, amazing seminary. I hope you guys realize how amazing this place is. Maybe other places are also amazing, I don't know. But I hope you guys realize how amazing this place is and how amazing people you have, and Rav Yamin and Michelle and the other people here. And it's really a great, and Ms. Bednarz, of course, goes without saying, a great privilege to be here. First order of business. Everyone see I'm wearing my full suit, jacket, everything. I'm a real rabbi. Now I can take it off. Okay, great. Okay, I want to talk a little today about a very, very difficult sugya in halacha and try and... we're not going to learn... How many makoros are in this sheet? 27. Okay, we're not going to learn 27 makoros in the next 45 minutes. Not to worry. But just to start to explore a little sugya in the Gemara and what it means maybe for us nowadays in our life as members of Klal Yisrael in the contemporary era. But I want to start with a sugya in the Gemara called Yerushalayim Nitchalkal Shvatim. Was Yerushalayim divided up among the Shvatim or not? Like, which Shevet does Yerushalayim belong to? Let's look at number one, a couple of Gemaras. Says the Gemara, V'atanya, the Braita says, Achuzatchem. Achuzatchem tamah ben ga'im, ve'in Yerushalayim tamah ben ga'im. Okay, whether you follow every detail of every reference that's being made here is not important, just to get the point. There's a drasha. Your inheritance has tumah ben ga'im. Remember we read not so long ago, Parshat Mitzora, about the tarad of a house. It says, in the land that you inherit. So in your inheritance, the laws of tarad on a house apply. But in Yerushalayim, there are no laws. There is no tarad on a house. Amrav Yehuda, Nilo Shamati, Amakim Mikdash Bilvad. But Yehuda says it's not true. There is tarad in Yerushalayim, just not in the Beit HaMikdash. So what's the machloket here? The Gemara says in the second paragraph, one, V'maikom Iflagi, what are they arguing about? Tanakama Savar Yerushalayim lo netchalkel shvatim. Rav Yehuda Savar Yerushalayim netchalkel shvatim. The first opinion says Yerushalayim was not divided up among the shvatim. It doesn't belong to any shvatim. It's like Klal Yisrael property. It's not shayach to any shevet, so it's not an inheritance of a shevet. It's like the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't belong to any particular shevet, and therefore, it doesn't have the rules of Tzara'at. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Yerushalayim Chalkal Shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda holds Yerushalayim was divided up to the shvatim. Anyone know what shevet it was given to? What? Yehuda ben Yamin, very unclear. Good. And therefore he holds there is Sarat. They're arguing about the machloket of these following Tanaim. The Tanya Mahaya Bechelko Shel Yehuda, Harabayit Alishkot Vazarot. One Braita says, what was in the portion of Yehuda? The Harabayit, being the Har outside of the actual Beit HaMikdash, and the offices and the courtyard. What was in Binyamin's share? The entryway to the Beit HaMikdash, the Heichal means the actual Beit HaMikdash, and the Kodesh Kodashim. There was a little strip that came out that was part of Yehuda and went into the Chelik of Binyamin. Uvayam is Beach Banoin. Ubinyamin Atzadigim Itzara Le Levala Bechol Yom. There was a little piece of Yehuda's inheritance that went out, and like here's Yehuda and here's Binyamin, here's a little piece that went out and a little piece that went out. And part of the Mizbeach was in Yehuda's place, and Binyamin at Tzadik always wanted to swallow it up because he wanted the whole Mizbeach. Shenemar Chofeif Alav Kol Yom says he was hovering over it all day long. The Figach Zaka Binyamin at Tzadik, and that's why Bizichin Ligvara. Shenemar Bank Teifav Shachin. And that's why Binyamin was Zocha, because he really wanted the Beis HaMikdash. If he really wants it, you get it. And he became the host for the Beis HaMikdash, and it says that the Shechina rests between his shoulders. So that Tana held, Yerushalayim was divided up among the Shvatim, half Binyamin, half Yehuda. The high Tana of Yerushalayim lo nechalkel shvatim, but this following Tana holds Yerushalayim was not divided among the Shvatim. The Tanya ein maskir in batim Yerushalayim. It says you can't rent out your house in Yerushalayim. If you live in Yerushalayim, you can't charge people like a hotel, charge people for a hotel room or to rent out your house because it's not yours. Lefishein Yerushalayim, because it's not yours. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon Amar aflo mitot. Okay, etc. He says you can't even charge for the beds because instead they would just give you the hides of the karbanot. So the first Tana says it was half Binyamin, half Yehuda. It was divided among the Shvatim. The second Tana says it doesn't belong to anyone. It just belongs to God. Right? Therefore, even if you live there, you can live there, but you can't charge rent for your house because it doesn't belong to anyone. And that's Machlokes Tina Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham, the first Tana that we started with, says it was not, didn't belong to any Shvatim. Therefore, there's no rule of Tarat. And Rabbi Yehuda says it does belong to the Shvatim. Okay, we have a machloket. This is a machloket Tanaim. Machloket among the rabbis mentioned in the Mishnah and the Braita. Now we just have to figure out how we paskin on this machloket. Was Yerushalayim split up among the Shvatim, or was it not? So let's look for a moment at number two. Asar dvar nemru Yerushalayim. The Gemara in Baba Kama says there are 10 special rules in Yerushalayim. Ein abayi chalukba, the rule that if you sell a house after 12 months, the new owner gets to keep it, doesn't apply. Beinim vi egla rufa, the rule if you find a dead person, you bring an egla rufa, if you don't know who the murderer was, doesn't apply. Ve'ein anasa irani dachat, the rule that if the people worship what is already destroyed, the city doesn't apply. Ve'ein abatami degoyim, the rule of tzarat doesn't apply. Ve'ein motzin zazizun ugzuz tura'ot, you can't make balconies coming out of your, like what we call mirpasot, coming out of your house in Yerushalayim. Ve'eino simba ashpatot, you can't make garbage dumps in Yerushalayim. Ve'eino simba kipshonot, you can't make furnaces in Yerushalayim. Ve'eino simba ganot uparnei sim, chutz miginot vadim shayim mimot nevi'im rishonim. You can't make gardens and orchards except for the rose garden that was there from the days of the early nevi'im. Ve'eino megalim tarnagolim, you can't grow chickens. Ve'eino malim batamet, and you can't keep a dead person overnight. You have to bury them right away in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, ein abayi chalutba. You don't have the rules of houses permanently transfer ownership. As it says, that if you sell a house, remember Parshat Bahar, not too long ago, it was yesterday in America, a week ago here, right? If someone sells a house in a walled city, then the guy buys it. If he doesn't, the original owner doesn't redeem it within 12 months, it becomes permanently the possession of the new buyer. And this bright holds, Yerushalayim was never split up to the ownership of any people. Therefore, obviously, you can't permanently own something there. Ve'en ve'egla rufa, and the rule of egla rufa, that's you take the calf and you wash your hands over the calf. If you don't know who did the murder, the end of Parshat Shoftim doesn't apply. As it says, if you find a dead body in the land Hashem gave you to inherit, and Yerushalayim was not given to anyone to inherit. Doesn't become an irani dachat, that's the idolatrous city that you destroy, because it says your cities, and it's not your cities, because it wasn't given over to be split up, to be inherited by the Shvatim. Okay, I read it quick, but we get the point. All these halachas don't apply, because all of these halachas only apply to privately owned land and privately owned cities, like all the other cities in Israel, which were given in Sefer Yoshua. This Shevet got it, and this family got it, and this person got it. But Yerushalayim is public property, so these rules do not apply. So this Gemara seems to paskin that Yerushalayim lo nitchakal shvatim, is public property. The Gemara in the Zvachim, though, is a little difficult. It says in number three, the Keren Mizrachit Romit lo ayala yisod. The southeast corner, the Mizbeach, did not have a yisod. Okay, here's a little tricky. I would draw this on the board, except for the fact that I'm very bad at drawing. I know how to write on the board, but I don't know how to draw. So imagine Mizbeach. You ever see a picture of Mizbeach? Maybe today would be a good time to make a model of Mizbeach or something, right? The Mizbeach, it had this big like structure, this big square structure, and on the bottom there was a ledge that came out, like one arm in each direction. That ledge was called the Yesod is the base. So it's like a ledge that came out on the bottom, that was a base. So it says the southeast corner didn't have a base. My time, or why not? It wasn't in the portion of Binyamin. That one amma, that one little part of the southeast corner, that was like the strip that Binyamin came and met the strip of the land of Yehuda. That was not in Binyamin's portion. That one amma was in Yehuda's portion. Since it was in Yehuda's portion, they didn't build a base there. They left it as flat ground. Amr of Leib Bar Chamar of Chanan Bar Chanin, Ritzuhai Tayotza, Mechalko Shal Yehuda, Nechnesa, Bechalko Shal Binyamin, because there was one stretch of land that came out from Yehuda and went into Binyamin's portion, by Binyamin at Tzadik Mitzar Allah, Bechol Yom Lenu, Glash, and Emmer, Chofay Falav Kol Yom, Lefikach, Zachah Binyamin at Tzadik, Naseo Shbizachim, La Kodesh Baruch, Shanem, Vein Knefav Shachay. Okay, Chazara, there's that little strip of land that Yehuda came that ate, like had one amma, one corner of the Mizbeach, and Binyamin always wanted to grab it, but he couldn't, and that one little amma, that one corner of his bach, they didn't build anything there because it was in Yehuda's portion and they only built in Binyamin's portion. Okay, this Gemara seems to imply that we paskin that it was split up among the Shvatim, partially Yehuda, partially Binyamin. This created a big problem among all the Mefarshim, right? How do rabbis make a living? Right, rabbis make a living because they find contradictions, stiras in the Gemara, and then they have to answer them, and then they have a lot of fun and they get to write books and give shiurim. So here we have a stira in the Gemara. on the one hand, we paskin. Now, how do you know it's a steer in the Gemara? Because we paskin like both of these Gemaras 2 and 3. You can look in the post and find that. We, in fact, believe, we paskin, the halacha says, that houses are not sold in Yerushalayim and you don't charge rent in Yerushalayim. And there's no din of any dach in Yerushalayim. There's no din of eglar roof in Yerushalayim because it's considered public property. But yet, it wasn't split up among the Shvatim. Yet, we paskin, if you look at any model of the Beit HaMikdash, next time you see a model of the Beit HaMikdash, look for the Mizbeach. Look on the side of the Mizbeach. There's a base, a ledge that comes out at the bottom, and you'll see that ledge covers three quarters of the Mizbeach. Three corners. But the fourth corner, the southeast corner, doesn't have a ledge, because that was in Yehuda's portion, not Binyamin's portion. That seems to imply that it was split up among the Shvatim. Now, just before we try to answer this question, let me ask if anyone else has any evidence. Anyone have any evidence as to whether or not Yerushalayim was split up among the Shvatim without looking at the sheets? Anyone want to prove one way or the other? Was Yerushalayim split up, divvied up with Eretz Yisrael, like everything else in Sefer Yoshua? Or is it just remaining public property? Anyone? Anyone evidence? Okay. So, what?
Wasn't it given to specific people?
How do you know that? Aha, so that's not so clear. That may have been only the plates of the Beit HaMikdash, not the whole Yerushalayim. That's what Tosfos deals with in number 7. But one thing that you guys are allowed to learn here in seminary, that guys in yeshiva are not allowed to learn, is Tanakh. Right? It's usher for boys to learn Tanakh, because no one's really sure why. But everyone knows that it's usher for boys to learn Tanakh. Right? But since they never made that rule that we don't know why for girls, so we're allowed to learn Tanakh here. And if you look in the Tanakh, Sefer Yoshua, what's Sefer Yoshua about? Anyone ever tried learning Sefer Yoshua?
Yeah.
Right? How much of it is really interesting? Half. Right. The first half is really interesting. It's all the wars. Right? Then the second half is all the dividing up. This Shevet got this portion, it got this portion, and this cities, and that cities. And that's what anyone who tries to do this project of like wanting to learn all of Tanakh, they get through the first half of Yeshua, it's very exciting. They get to the second half of Yeshua, it gets very boring. And they give up. So the message to everyone here is, don't give up. It's very short, the second half of Yeshua. Just get through it and then Shoftim gets exciting again. But what does it say in the second half of Yeshua? Look for a moment at number 4. It says, V'yatayivusi yoshvei Yerushalayim lo yuchlu b'nei Yehuda lo harisham. The Yevusim who lived in Yerushalayim, b'nei Yehuda could not drive them out. V'yeshev ha'yivusi es b'nei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim ad yom hazeh. The Yevusim, the type of Kananim, lived with b'nei Yehuda in Yerushalayim to this very day. So what does it sound like? Whose portion was Yerushalayim? Yehuda. Just like many things in Sefer Yoshua, and that's the background to Sefer Shoftim, they didn't manage to beat the Yevusim. Who finally managed to beat the Yevusim? What?
David,
of course. Right? If we ever go to like to tour in Ir David, you ever do the Ir David tour? You ever taken to Ir David? Right, you see like they found a place where like David sent soldiers to sneak into Yerushalayim to conquer it. Great. Number 5, Yoshua Perek Yud Chet. The cities that the Shevet of Bnei Binyamin got for their families are Yericho, Beit Chagla, Emek Katzitz, Vetzela Ha'elef, Ve'yivusi, Hi Yerushalayim. Tzela Ha'elef and Yivusi, which is Yerushalayim, and other things. Right? Givat Kiryat Arim, Arbasri, Vechatzvehem, Zot Nachalap, Bnei Binyamin, Mishvachosam. It says pretty clearly that Bnei Binyamin got Yerushalayim. And that's what it also says in number 6 in Sefer Shoftim, V'yata Yevusi Yoshev Yerushalayim, Lo Horisha B'nei Binyamin. Binyamin couldn't kick out the Yevusim from Yerushalayim, V'yesha V'yevusi et B'nei Binyamin Yerushalayim Adei Yom Zeh. Parallel, C6 is parallel to 4, just with Binyamin. Clearly, if we just read Tanakh, we would think, what Shevet got Yerushalayim? What? What Shevet got Yerushalayim? Well, half Binyamin, half Yehuda, I guess, right? It was on the border. They both got a share of Yerushalayim. Right? That would make sense in terms of the Mizbeach, right? There was, what do we say? Bnei Yehuda got the Har Habayit, the Lishkot, and the Azarot, the offices and the courtyards. Bnei Binyamin got the Ulam and the Heichal, the Kodesh Kodeshim, the building with the entryway first, then the Kodesh, the Heichal, then the Kodesh Kodeshim. And the Mizbeach was mostly Binyamin, a little Yehuda, and that's the place where it wasn't built on. It seems pretty clear from the Pesukim that it was divided up to the Shvatim. So now we have a bit of a mystery. If it seems in the Pesukim like it was divided up from the between the Shvatim, and the way we build the Mizbeach reflects the fact that it was divided up among the Shvatim, why then would we paskin that none of these halachas apply to Yerushalayim. You can't charge rent for your house in Yerushalayim because it was not divided up amongst the Shvatim. That's what all of the Mefarshim are trying to deal with. Now, let me open the floor here. Here I'm going to do something very mean. Ready for me to do something mean? No? Too bad. I'm not going to tell you the answer. I'm going to ask you if you have an answer. How can you, you have any suggestions to help me out here? I'm stuck, right? It's going to be very embarrassing for me if I have to go home and I ask questions that I don't know the answers to them. So can anyone help me out here? Like, you have any ideas? It could be in the box, out of the box, as to what's shot here? Like, how do you resolve this machlokas? How do you resolve this stira? Why do the psukim sound like it was divided up? Why is the Mizbeach built in a way that seems to be part Yehuda and part Binyamin, and they built on the Binyamin part and didn't build on the corner of Yehuda part? Sounds like it was divided up. But yet the Gemara says that all these halachas, the halachas of Tzara'as and Egla Arufa and Ir Hanidacha don't apply, and you're not allowed to charge rent for your house because it wasn't divided up. So, like, was it divided up and given to the Shvatim, or was it left public property? What's pshat? Anyone? Anyone?
Maybe when referring to Yerushalayim, the dividing up part, that was like the Beit HaMikdash, and then everything surrounding it, like when it came to like the houses, that wasn't.
Ah, so maybe like the Beit HaMikdash was like divided up, but the houses surrounding were not. Okay, that's an interesting theory, and the truth is that would explain a number of things. It's just a little tricky because here's a little background that's hinted at in the first line, number one, but everyone agrees the Beit HaMikdash belonged to all of Klal Yisrael's public property. So that's gonna be a killer there. Everyone agrees that all the Shvatim chipped in money and bought the Goren Arnon. Remember Goren Arnon, the story from the from Sefer Shmuel? I think it's the end of Shmuel Aleph, right before the beginning of Shmuel Bet. And in the first line of number one, everyone agrees, Amar Rav Yehuda, Ani lo shamati al makom mikdash bilvad. Everyone agrees the makom, the Beit HaMikdash. Well, actually, that's a little tricky. We skipped the Gemara on that. But it doesn't seem to work in the halacha. The halacha seems to say that everyone agrees that the Beit HaMikdash was also not in the Kal Shvatim. So let's try again. Anyone else? What's your name?
Aliza.
Maybe the fact that like it is split and unclear like shows that it's kind of like neutral grounds for everyone.
You mean because it's split between two of the Shvatim, so that makes it maybe. What's your name?
Yael.
Maybe I'm thinking the two Shvatim that produced kings were Binyamin and Yehudah, and they were kind of in charge of the whole Bnei Yisrael. So maybe those two Shvatim had responsibility to get Yerushalayim, but once it was in their hands, it belonged to everyone.
That's interesting. So those two Shvatim maybe represented everyone. Okay, we're going to come back to the idea. That's also a very interesting idea. any other ideas? What's your name?
Tommy.
Tommy.
Maybe they had certain responsibilities, but they didn't own it like the other Shvatim, like the rest of the land.
They had certain responsibilities for it, like they had responsibility for it, but that doesn't necessarily mean they owned it, just that they were responsible to take care of it. Okay, those are all very, very interesting ideas, some of which I hadn't actually even thought of. One of them, let's mention one or two ideas. We'll briefly mention the Shita of Tosafot, 7 and 8. Tosafot says that, let's start with number 8. Yerushalayim lo nitchaka l'shvatim. It says in Perkei Zeh Mekoman, number 3, that there was no base, there was no ledge on the southeast corner. It wasn't in the portion of Binyamin. Okay, Tosafot asks the question. If we pass in Lonet Chakal Shvatim, it wasn't split up among the Shvatim, it wasn't partially Yehudas and it wasn't partially Binyamins, and therefore, why didn't they make a ledge on the southeast corner? And don't say they did, because it's clear in the Pasuk that part of it had a ledge, part of it didn't. V'yesh Lomer, Tosafot answers, Hachi Gemiri Shalolaso Yisod Lemizrachit Romit, Kidechtiva Kol Bechtav. Says it must have been Gemiri. Gemiri means a Torah Shebaal Peh. They must have had a Masorah Baal Peh not to make a ledge on the southeast corner, as it says when David built the Beit HaMikdash, Hakol Bechtav, everything Hashem told him what to write in the instructions. Tosfot is of the somewhat radical, or maybe Pashut opinion. Tosfot holds Yerushalayim was never split up among the Shvatim. It didn't belong part to Yehuda. It didn't belong part to Binyamin Zehu. Why was there no ledge in the southeast corner, if you look at the temple models? That must have been just a Masorah Baal Peh, Halacha Moshe Sinai, or Halacha LeDavid from Nevuah, that you shouldn't make a ledge on the southeast side. Tosfot holds that it was Mamish never split up among Yehuda and Binyamin. The Achronim ask, well, don't we see it was assigned to Yehuda and Binyamin in Sefer Yoshua? And they say, well, Yehuda and Binyamin never conquered it, right? They never drove out the Yavusi. So maybe originally there was a thought to give it to Yehuda and Binyamin, but it was never given to anyone. Yerushalayim was always public property. When they first divided up the Shvatim, it belonged to the Yavusim. No one conquered it. By the time they got there to build the Beis HaMikdash, they just left it as public property of Klal Yisrael, that it doesn't belong to anyone. And even though there's no ledge on the southeast corner, that's just halacha, that's just a Masorah, that's just a Nevuah. There's no reason for it. It's something we don't understand. Has nothing to do with Yehudim and Yamin. Now, our time is short. I just want to show you briefly that most of the Mefarshim don't hold this way. For example, let's look at number 9. Number 9 says, the Rambam Paskins, and I apologize, I'm going to go quickly because I want to leave time for what we have to say at the end, for the third page. We'll just look at the underlined parts. Number 9 says the Rambam, Ein maskirim batim b'tochai, you don't rent out houses because it's not yours. Just the underlined parts of 9. Ve'ein abayit nechlat ba, ve'ein metameim b'gayim, ve'ein nasid yorani dacha, ve'ein v'yegla ruth l'fishul n'chak l'shvatim. A house is not permanently owned there, and it doesn't have tumat sarat, and it doesn't become an yorani dacha, and you don't bring this egla ruf if you find a dead person, because it was never split up among the shvatim. The Rambam says it was never split up among the shvatim. Yet, the Rambam paskins in 10, that there was no base, there was no ledge on the southeast side. And in 11, the Kesef Mishnah, who remembers when we spent Shabbos together? Who remembers spending Shabbos together? Okay, the Kesef Mishnah was written by the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Who's that? Yosef Cairo, right? Remember we saw him in the cemetery there in Tzfat? So the Kesef Mishnah, his Pirish on the Rambam says, look at the underline in 11, Lefish lo hayta b'chal kol shel taref. There was no ledge on the southeast side because it wasn't in the portion of Binyamin, meaning the rest of the Zbeach was in Binyamin's portion, and that southeast corner was not in Binyamin's portion. So he seems to hold, when he interprets the Rambam, that even though Lonit Chalkal Shvatim, it was still partially Binyamin's and partially Yehuda's. The Smag, number 12, the Smag was, nowadays not such a popular book, but if you go back 700 years, if you're Ashkenazic, who's Ashkenazic? Raise your hand. Okay. If you would go back 700 years, and ask your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, what's a good halacha book to read to get the halachas down? He would tell you the Smag called Sefer Mitzvos Gadol. It's a book that goes through all the mitzvos. It's called Gadol because it's really long. That was a nickname. He called it Sefer Mitzvos. They nicknamed the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol because it was a really long one. And he went through and gave the Ashkenazi Masorah on all the halachas anywhere in Shas. And he writes here in number 12, he says, number 12, Kerem Mizrach Tzvonet Lohaya Bo Yisod Lufisha Ota Mashal Rochav Yisod Loto Tzad Haita Meritzua Sheyotze Michelko Shel Yehuda V'Nechneset Bechelko Shel Binyamin. The southeast corner didn't have a ledge, didn't have a base, because that one amma worth of width there was in the little portion, the little strip of land that belonged to Yehuda and not Binyamin. So he paskins was split between Yehuda and Binyamin. Yet in 13, V'Tani V'Torat Kohanim Achuzah Metam Medigon V'En Yerushalayim Metam Medigon V'Shalon Chalkal Shvatim, that he says that there's no Tumas Saras in Yerushalayim because it was not split up among the Shvatim. And 14, Vein Modin L'Yerushalayim Fisha in Yerushalayim V'Egla Rufal V'Shalon Chalkal Shvatim. Okay, pretty clear. The Smag says at the same time it was not split up among the Shvatim, and at the same time it was the Mizbeach was mostly in Binyamin's portion and a little bit in Yehuda's portion. The Kesef Mishnah interprets the Rambam to say it was not split up among the Shvatim, but at the same time it was mostly Binyamin's and a little bit in Yehuda's. Where do they get them from? The Achronim suggest they get this from an interesting book in number 15. There's something called Masechtos Ketanos. Right? There's a Shas someplace here. I'm not going to walk all the way to get it now. But if you open up the Shas and look after Pirkei Avos, there would be these cool books called Masechtos Ketanos. Small Masechtos. They're not real Masechtos. They were written later than the rest of the Mishnah. And they're like collections of what they call Brisas, like texts written in the time of the Mishnah that were not included in the Mishnah, about different topics. Some of them are really small. Like there's one about Gerim, which is like one page. One about tzitzis, which is like two page. But then there are some which are a little longer. One of them is called Masechet Smachot, which has all the halachas of Avelos we get from there. One is called Avot Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan's version of Pirkei Avos. It's an expanded version of Pirkei Avos that expands on some of the Musar themes in Pirkei Avos, and throws in a lot of other things. In 15 it says, we'll look at it briefly, Ein Yerushalayim Etam Ben Ga'im Ve'in Nidonah Pe'er Nidachat. Yerushalayim does not have the rules of Tarat and doesn't have the rules of Inri Dachas. Ve'ein Mekai Ben Ben Sor Umor Divrei Rav Nosson, and there's no Din Sor Ben Sor Umor according to Rav Nosson, Shenemar, etc. Just skip to the third line. Zemekomo ein mochim bavatim lekarkosu mali. You can't sell houses except what's above the ground. You can't sell the land. Bina bites me tutva leachiv beischodesh, and houses cannot change property after 12 months because you don't own the land. Vein lok maschar mitos. You can't charge for the rent for the beds, etc. Right? Seems clearly Yerushalayim lo nechav talish vatim. You can't charge rent. You don't own your houses. You don't own the land your house is on. But on the other hand, it says katova acharomer bechad shvatecha. One pasuk says you should build the Beis HaMikdash in one of your shvatim. The other one says in the place that belongs to all your shvatim. Be'achad shvatecha zu shevet Yehuda ben Yamin. Be'achad shvatecha means it should be in shevet Yehuda ben Yamin. Mikol shvatechem ze Yerushalayim shekol Yisrael shutfim ba. It should be in Yehuda ben Yamin, but it should be in Yerushalayim where everyone's a shutf. All the shvatim are partners. It belongs to everyone equally. Maya bechelko shel Yehuda harabayit v'alashkot v'azarot. What was in Yehuda's portion? The harabayit and the offices and the courtyards. Umayyah Bachalko Shabinyamana Hechel Vulam Bas Kodesh Kadashim, the vestibule of the Beis HaMikdash, the actual Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh Kadashim. And there was like a schwitz, an angle that came out, that same Ritzuah, that came out of Binyamin's part, and that was the way the Mizbeach was built, etc. In this Avot Rabbi Nassim, it's clear that at the same time we paskin, it belonged to all the Shvatim. Kol Shiv, what did it say right here? You can't charge rent, and Kol Yisrael Shutfim, but all Yisrael were Shutfim. Yet at the same time, it says it belonged to Yehuda ben Yamin, because the offices belong to Yehuda, and the courtyard belonged to Yehuda, and the building, the Beis HaMikdash, belonged to ben Yamin, and like a little thing stuck out of each of them, and Yehuda chap the corner of the Mizbeach, and ben Yamin chap most of the Mizbeach. So it's clear in this Avot to Rabbi Natan that it could belong to Yehuda ben Yamin at the same time that it belongs to all the Shvatim. And this is the question, how exactly that came about, and that's sort of the question we had a bunch of answers to. I just want to point out the answer to the Brisker Rav, which was the Rav's uncle, and many of the Mefarshim, they give a very, very simple answer. If the land was divided up to Yehuda and Binyamin, then, and Yehuda got the place where in the future, right, there would be the Harabayit, right, and the offices and the corners. You ever see the temple model in the corners of the courtyard, there are offices, and the courtyard and Binyamin got the part where there would be in the future, the Hechal and Ulam, the Ulam and Hechal, the entryway, and the Kodesh Kadashim, and he got the Mizbeach, and Yehuda got a corner of the Mizbeach. How could it belong to everyone if it was divided up to Yehuda and Yamin? Let me ask you another question. When they divided it up to Yehuda and Yamin, did they know the Beis HaMikdash would be built there? Did they know the Beis HaMikdash would be built in Yerushalayim?
No.
Where did the Torah say to build the Beis HaMikdash? Anyone? What? The the place Hashem chooses. So when they divided it off, of course they would have divided it up between Yehuda and Binyamin, right? It was like a city. It wasn't such a big city. They drew the line someplace. Yehuda got one part. Binyamin got another part. Maybe that was where some wall went in those days. Maybe it was some street in those days. So how can it end up they were all shutfim in it? So what do we see from here? So the Brisker Rav suggests, based on Makor 7 and a few other Makoros, that a very simple solution. Originally belonged to Yehuda and Binyamin. Right, it was split up between them, and there was this funny jagged dividing line, which demarcated the border. And then, when it came time, who was the one who figured out we should build the Beis HaMikdash there, by the way? David. When David figured out you should build the Beis HaMikdash there, how did he know you should build the Beis HaMikdash there? Anyone know the story?
Was everyone was dying, and David didn't know what to do, so he asked, the Navi said,
exactly, right? There was a plague, everyone dying, right? Plague, and it was Gor and Arnon, the threshing floor of Arnon, Hayyuhusi, and he brought a carbon there, and the fire came down from heaven and burnt the carbon, and the plague stopped. He knew there was a special place for Hashem. How did he know it should be the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe we'll come back to. He certainly knew it was a special place. Maybe at that time, Yehuda and Binyamin gave up their portion in Yerushalayim, like it was originally Yehuda and Binyamin's Nachala. It belonged part to Yehuda, part to Binyamin. And that would explain, like, if you think about, well, which Makoros, what are the Makoros that really say it belonged to Yehuda Binyamin? The Makoros that say this land was Binyamin's and this land was Yehuda's, like when they built it. At the time they built it, it was part Yehuda and part Binyamin. But when they decided to build the Beis HaMikdash there, like the old historical Makoros, whose land was it when they built it, and how did they decide where to build what, and how, what to build the Yesod? It was Yehuda's and Binyamin's. The later Makoros, about what the halach is nowadays, do you have Tzaras, do you not? Do you have Egla Rufa, do you not? Can you charge rent for your house, can you not? Can you sell the land, or can you not? Maybe afterwards, it became everyone's. It was originally Yehuda and Binyamin's. But once they decided to build the Beis HaMikdash there, they gave it over to all of Klal Yisrael and became everyone's. This makes sense in the Rambam. If you look at 19 for a moment, the Rambam says, "V'atam she'en Yerushalayim atam minigoyim." The reason why Yerushalayim has no tumas saras in the houses, "V'shenemer eretz achuzachem." It's called the land of your inheritance has saras. "V'Yerushalayim lo nuchalkal shvatim." Yerushalayim is not divided up among the shvatim. "Elihi makam avoda meshutav lakol." It's a place of avoda, avodas Hashem, which is in partnership to everyone. Meaning, what made Yerushalayim everyone's? It wasn't everyone's stam. Like, it was originally Yehuda's and Binyamin's. And who is it? And I don't know, there's some family in Yehuda who probably owned this house and this land and this plot and this field. Some family in Binyamin owned the rest. That was before it was a Makom Avodah. That was before it became a place for Avodah Hashem. Once it became a place for Avodah Hashem, everything had to change. Tosfos suggests, Tosfos doesn't hold this way, but the Brisk Rav says the Rambam does hold this way, that all they took money of Hekdesh that belonged to all of Am Yisrael, and they bought all that land, and they made that land of Yerushalayim Hekdesh for all of Am Yisrael. The Rambam holds that any place where we have a Avodat Hashem, where we have a Beit HaMikdash, has to belong to everyone. Now this is a separate part. I don't know if anyone ever learned Mishnah or Gemara in Sukkah or Rosh Hashanah. Anyone ever learned Sukkah or Rosh Hashanah? What? Okay, it says in Masechet Sukkah that, and Rosh Hashanah, that on Shabbos we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but we do in the Beit HaMikdash. On Shabbos we don't shake a lulav in our shuls, but we do in the Beit HaMikdash. Most Mefarshim say it means in the Beis HaMikdash we blow shofar and shake the lulav. Outside the Beit HaMikdash, no. The Rambam says, this is Mokar 20 and 21, we won't look at it inside, says that all of Yerushalayim is the Mikdash. In all of Yerushalayim you shake the lulav on the first day. There are some people, and all of Yerushalayim, you shake the lulav on Shabbos the first day. Okay, nowadays, you know, people wouldn't necessarily go to Yerushalayim and shake the lulav outside the Beis HaMikdash because they're not sure if that's the right shot or not. It says that all of Yerushalayim blows shofar on Shabbos. Once it actually happened, there was a Rav in Yerushalayim about 60 years ago who blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah that fell out on Shabbos because the Rambam says all of Yerushalayim counts the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, we blow shofar on Shabbos. So there was once a Rav, Rav Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, who blew shofar on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, but that was too radical, it was too different from what we were used to. It was, they were afraid that, you know, you start doing things too differently, and then it'll make people question our traditions. So they told him not to do that anymore, and it only happened once, and never again. But once, they say the Rosh Shiva Punovich said, if I had heard about it beforehand, I would have gone to Yerushalayim for Rosh Hashanah to hear the shofar blown on Shabbos. But the Rambam holds all of Yerushalayim as part of the Beis HaMikdash. Even though we don't bring karbonos in Yerushalayim, it's the city that holds the Beis HaMikdash. It's the city that people go and they stay in that city to go bring karbonos to the Beis HaMikdash. They go back to the city, they eat the karbonos. It's a city of Avodah Hashem. A place of Avodah Hashem has to belong to all of us equally. And I think the yesod of Yerushalayim here is that perhaps the answer for the Rambam is that until it was a place of Avodah Hashem, when it was just a regular city, so it was a regular city. Of course a regular city belongs to someone. Once it became a place of Avodah Hashem, once it became a place special for Avodah Hashem cannot be something that people do in their own private ways, in their own private property. Avodah Hashem can't be a private thing. We don't believe in, I mean, obviously we believe each person should be an Oved Hashem like Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu was a Yachid, it was Oved Hashem, and there's a lot to be said for that. Yosef HaTzadik was a Yachid in Galut, it was Oved Hashem, and we look up to that. You know, and if we're stuck in a situation where we're the only from person someplace, and we have to be Oved Hashem just on our own kochot, then we look to Avraham Avinu smashing the idols and being thrown in the furnace. We look to Yosef resisting temptation. We look to, you know, Daniel davening and being thrown into the lion's den, and Yachid being Oved Hashem. But that's not what Am Yisrael is about. Right? That was the Avos. That was Golos. Am Yisrael is about Am Yisrael being Oved Hashem. It's about a nation being Oved Hashem. And Beit HaMikdash is a place for the whole nation to come together and be Oved Hashem. Someone proved to me that Beit HaMikdash is a place for the whole nation to be Oved Hashem. What does it say you have to do on Yontif? What? Alila Regal, who has to come? Right? Everyone has to come. Or Kol Zechorcha has to come to everyone has to come. As a matter of fact, how about nowadays? Let me ask you a simple question. When we daven, where do we face when we daven? Wherever we we daven, we face Yerushalayim. Why? Why do we face Yerushalayim? Because it's the holiest place on earth, right? What's your name?
Abigail.
Okay, that's not a false answer, right? Obviously, it's the holiest place on earth, right? Someone want to add to that? Why do we face Yerushalayim when we daven?
I think in the Yerushalayim, it says when you're in Galut, you should face Yerushalayim.
Okay, good. It says by Daniel, which I mentioned earlier, right? Kavnan Ptichanle, it's in Aramaic, so it's a little hard to remember, right? That he would have the windows open towards Yerushalayim and he'd daven three times a day. Right, but that's not what the Gemara says. You know what the Gemara says? Something amazing. When I first met this Gemara, I'm like, no, this has to be wrong. Like, isn't the reason we daven Yerushalayim because it's the holiest place in the world? Isn't the reason because, like, that's the gate where, like, our prayers ascend to heaven? Which is probably true, but that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Bavli, the Rishami says the same thing, by the way. I didn't put it on the sheet. Number 23. We'll just read the underline. If you were in Israel, it says, if you're in Israel, you face Yerushalayim. You should daven to Hashem through the way of this city which Hashem chose. Nimtza, last end of 23. If you're in the east, you face west. If you're in the west, you face east. If you're in the south, you face north. If you're in the north, you face south. It's actually this amazing thing, right? You can imagine, like, all of a sudden there's davening, it's time for chakras. And, you know, a Jew in Iran is facing towards Yerushalayim, facing westward. And a Jew in Spain is facing eastward towards Yerushalayim, right? And a Jew in Eilat is facing northward towards Yerushalayim. And a Jew in Kiryat Shmona is facing southward. They're all facing Yerushalayim. Why? Nimtzu kol Yisrael mechavenes libam lemakom echad. Therefore, we find that all Yisrael are mechavening their hearts to the same place. Okay? All Yisrael are mechavening to the same place. Then they bring a pasuk for it. Why should we all daven towards Yerushalayim, says the Gemara? Not only because it's the holiest place on earth. Because God's everywhere. God's everywhere. Even though Yerushalayim is the holiest place on earth, God's everywhere. We could die, God's in Antarctica also. But if I dive in Antarctica and I just face my Aron Kodesh in Antarctica, right, and you dive in Denmark and you just face whatever's nice in Denmark, you know, and someone else dives in Australia and faces the beautiful wilderness of Australia, then God's in all those places and he hears our prayers. But we're not all together, right? When we all face Yerushalayim, it brings all the Jews together. Like, why do we all daven towards Yerushalayim? That way all the Jews are davening together. Even when you're davening bichidot, and even when you're davening with a small minion, all the Jews are davening together. There's something about Yerushalayim that for davening, for avodat Hashem, we have to be together. Not only that, everyone knows, if I were to ask you a question, I don't want to depress anyone, talk about depressing things like Yerushalayim. But, you know, sometimes the negative things in the world could be depressing, but there are also challenges, and they tell us what we have to fix in the world. What you say is the biggest problem in Orthodox Judaism nowadays? Okay, that's an open-ended question. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to let anyone answer that, because that will get completely out of hand. And, you know, first of all, half of you will just, you know, okay. So, but in my opinion, you know, I love the Torah. And I love people who keep the Torah. I even love people who don't keep the Torah. We're all great. More keep the Torah, more keep the Torah, less, right? Everyone keeps a little. But one of the biggest problems that I see in firm Judaism nowadays, I'm not talking about non-firm Jews. So there are people out there who unfortunately don't know about keeping, they intermarry, they don't keep Shabbos, they don't know, you know, so the Torah, so we have to teach them. How about all the firm Jews? The thing that annoys me most about the firm Jews is that they can't get along. That they can't be united, that everyone has to, like, have their own way, and everyone has to, like, look down on everyone else, and everyone has to fight over, you know, should you do this and you almost murder that and you almost mut, or, you know, should you daven this order, daven that order, or whatever it may be. Like, it's so hard, especially in Israel, you see it a lot more than America. Because in America, it's a big country, a lot of goyim, so, you know, everyone sort of minds their own business and doesn't bother each other too much. In Israel, you see all the time in the news, like, there's all these politics and the political parties, and each, you know, there's a Haredi political party, and a Haredi Ashkenazi political party, and a Dati Lumi political party, and then the other ones that didn't make it. There was a Breslov political party that didn't make it, and the semi-Haredi, Sephardi slash strong Dati Lumi party that almost made it, and etc. etc. And like, it's so hard sometimes for Jews to get along, and you wonder for a moment, like, what did Hashem have in mind? But Hashem gave the Torah. What did he think? He thought that there's a lot of things that need interpretation, right? That's obvious, right? You need, like, post-giving, you need halacha, and you need to, like, decide what to do. It was obvious that people would have different ideas about what to do. So what was God's plan? He gave the Torah. People would have different ideas about how to serve Hashem, how to keep the Torah, and they would fight with each other all the time. Is that God's plan? That's a pretty dumb plan, no? So what was God's plan? Like, what did he think? Like, he obviously, right, he's smarter than all of us, right? Pashut, right? He knew that people would have different ways of interpreting the Torah. He knew that that could create fights. What was his plan to solve that problem? Anyone? It's not even on the sheet. I want you to figure it out. See if anyone figures out themselves. What did it say in the Chumash? Sefer Shoftim. It's also Rambam. Ki palem imcha davar lemishpat, etc. V'kantav yalita lemakom ashev kar shemel kechabo. When you don't know what the halach is, what do? Divrei revoke b'sharachim. People fight in your cities. Sharim, gates, just means where the elders and judges of cities sat in the old days. You come to the makom shegiv kar shem, to the Beit HaMikdash. What do you? How does coming to the Beit HaMikdash help you resolve fights about halacha? What was in the Beit HaMikdash? The Sanhedrin, right? Of Uvatalu Kohanim al Vimbi al Shofet Asher Yevayimim Ahem V'Darashtavi Gidulcha Itvar Mishpat V'Asid Al Pi Advar She Gidulcha Namakomahu. What does it say in Sefer Shoftim? Everyone knows that if you have a suffolk and a halacha, you go to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin paskins halacha, and everyone has to follow it. Anyone know a little Gemara knowledge? What is it called if a rabbi doesn't listen to the Sanhedrin and tries to like make his own brand of Judaism? A Zaken Mamre. And what happens to that Zaken Mamre? Something not so nice. Right? He gets killed. Right? That Zaken Mamre gets killed. Right? And deservedly so. The Gemara says he doesn't get killed because he's so evil. He gets killed because you can't have people making their own sects and branches of Judaism. The Rambam says, in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, there was no machluk at Yisrael. No one had an ongoing argument. If there was an argument, people said, each said their opinion, they went up to the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin decided. In the old days, when there was a Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash unified us. It made sure that we all kept the same Judaism. It kept us all on the same page. Even, just look at number 25 for a moment. Lo Tasun, someone tell me, who knows, right? You guys mutter to learn Tanakh? Tell me which book of Tanakh this reminds you of. Lo Tasun, kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom ish kol hayashar be'inav. Don't do what people do nowadays, everyone would ever straighten their eyes. Sefer Shoftim. What happened to Sefer Shoftim? Ishkol Yashu Ein of Yased, there was a lack of unity among the Jews. I mean, if you read Sefer Shoftim, Dvorah, right, she's cursing the Ishvatim who didn't help her and praising the Ishvatim. Pilegish Begiv, we won't mention. Right? Ki lovatim en atol amenuchavim l'nachalash Hashem l'kechem notein lach v'avartemet ha'yadim v'shavtem ba'aretz v'shavtem l'kechem anchil etchem v'niach l'chem mikol v'chem misoviv v'shavtem betach v'ayam ha'kom asher yivchar Hashem l'kech. Okay, what Sefer does this remind us of? Right? V'niach l'chem mikol v'chem misoviv v'shavtem betach. Who said, Hashem is v'niach mi mikol v'chem misoviv? And now I have to do something. What? David HaMelech, right? Hashem establishes kingship, gave him rest from his enemies, and what did he do? The place Hashem chooses, you should build a base on Mikdash in the place Hashem chooses. Basically, what keeps Jews from everyone doing their own thing? What keeps Jews from everyone making their own sect and their own faction and their own brand of Judaism? What keeps us united? It says very pashut. If we build a Beit HaMikdash Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, it's one Beit HaMikdash. It's one Beit HaMikdash unites us all. Why? Because there's only one Beit HaMikdash. You know what? It's hard to get along. We'll learn to get along because we have to share the Beit HaMikdash. At some points in Jewish history, there were very different kinds of Jews. There were even Prushim and Tzedukim and Aprikorsim, etc. And they all shared one Beit HaMikdash. They all shared one Sanhedrin. They learned to get along. In the end, Baruch Hashem, the side that was more correct won. But they learned to get along because you have to share the Beit. There is no second Beit HaMikdash. So you have no choice but to get along. There is no second Sanhedrin. You have no choice but to accept his authority. God had a great plan. It's called Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. There would someday be a place which unites us all. He's not telling us where it is. We don't know where it is now. We have to give all of Eretz Yisrael to the Shvatim now. Everyone owns every piece of land now. But someday there will be a place that unites us all that we should give back to all the Shvatim. We should give back to everyone. We should make property of Klal Yisrael. And that place will unite us. You know what that reminds me of nowadays? I don't know if you have the same experience, because if you go to the girls' section in the Kotel, then you don't have minyanim there. But it's fascinating to me that in my whole life, like I try to be like an open-minded type of person. I try to be like comfortable out of my box and meet different kinds of people, whatever they might be. Certainly different kinds of Jews, certainly different kinds of Torah observing Jews. But tachlis, when push comes to shove, who do I daven with all the time? I daven with people who look like me, right? I daven with people who wear kippot through goat. I daven with people who learn the same kind of yeshivas that I learn in and send their kids to the same schools I send my kids in and have the same hashgafa that I have. And then I go to work and I go teach at Gross at YU, which is the same kind of hashgafa as me, and I give a guest year at Chalvin for Women, which is the same. You know, we're like stuck in our bubble, and it's not our fault. Like, that's just part of life. You have to have a lifestyle. So I'm, you know, in America, you call me modern Orthodox, here you call me Dati Lumi, whatever you call it. You know, like, I'm with my kind of Jews. How often do I really go out and encounter different kinds of Jews? How often do I even, like, daven with Sfardim, forget about different Ashkafas? You know, very rarely. Once in a while, I hop a minion at the Sfardi shul, like if it's a Maariv, so it's a very short minion, you know, and I don't get lost too much. And I feel left out when I don't know the tunes. But how often do I daven with Haredi Jews? You know, how do I daven with, I don't know, Lubavitch Jews? How very infrequently, because it's just not in my circles. And the same for all those kind of Jews. We're all stuck in our bubbles. What's the one time I daven with Klal Yisrael? When I go to the Kotel. All of a sudden you go to the Kotel, and I don't know if you ever noticed this, you go to the Kotel and you're sitting there next to all kinds of different women from all different walks of life and levels of observance and hashkafas, and they're all sort of davening the same thing to the same Hashem. And it's even more so, you know, you go to the men's side, how often was I in a minyan where, like, part of the minyan is wearing, like, strimals, and part of the minyan is wearing kippah srugah? And, you know, like, once I remember I went Tisha B'Av afternoon to the Kotel. I'm not going to go again Tisha B'Av afternoon to the Kotel, because it's very crowded, and it's very hot, and the sun's beating down, and you haven't eaten drink all day, and, you know, you don't want to faint. So in Gashmias, I'm not going again Tisha B'Av afternoon, because I don't want to get dehydrated. But in Ruchnias, it was amazing. Because here you're like mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which came about through Sinas Chinam, and you go to the Kotel, and like it may be in some other corner, you hope on Tisha B'Av not, but like certainly the next day you might find Sinas Chinam even nowadays. But you go to the Kotel, and like here's like, you know, like I'm leaning at Mincha Minyan at the Kotel, and there's some guy with a chassid, you know, chassid saying, you know, Burich Ato Hashem. On the Birkas HaTorah, and like everyone's different, everyone's participating, and brings us together. Why are we so together at the Kotel? Well, because the Kotel is the Beis HaMikdash. It's the one place, because there's only one Kotel, right? I mean, you don't have a Zionist Kotel and a Haredi Kotel and a Hasidish Kotel and a Misnagdish Kotel and an Ashkenazi Kotel and a Sephardic Kotel. You don't have different Kotels for different people, because the Kotel is that place that unites us. We all have to share the Kotel, and somehow, you know, we manage. All the Jews at the Kotel do very different things. You know, you have the very anti-Zionist Hasidim doing their Kabbalah Shabbos Friday night. At the same time, some other group is like bringing in Chayalim and dancing with them Friday night at the Kotel. And they all seem to get along. Because that's the magic of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the one place that transcends the fact that beforehand we might have been different Shvatim. Nowadays our Shvatim aren't Yisachar and Zavulun. But we still have our Shvatim. Everyone's their own kind of Jew. And the Kotel transcends that. Not only that, one of the amazing things Chazal say in Yerushalayim is that nowadays, what's the real tricky thing? Like, none of us here in this room, I'm looking around, I even met some of us, we're not bad people. Like, we're not going to go be prejudiced against other kind of Jews and look down on them and fight with them just because we're a little different. But sometimes it's very difficult to get along. What if you have different halachic standards? You do things differently. Right? You go in kashrus nowadays. Everyone has their own hashgacha. How many hashgachas are there in America? In America, there's a couple hashgachas and everyone eats all of them, right? Except for one, I'm not going to mention. In Israel, there's so many hashgachas. There's people who, you know, they eat chsam sofer or eat chayyus or Reuben. No, I only eat charedus or of Reuben and not chsam sofer. And, you know, forget about mahadran, not mahadran. It's so hard that there are different levels of standards of observance. And those are really true. It really is true that there are different standards and levels. And, like, can I eat in your house? Can you eat in my house? Like, it's a real good question, even if I'm a nice person. Like, I don't know. I don't know exactly what you serve in your house, what you don't, how trustworthy people are, what their standards are. Because I see an amazing thing in 24. The big issue they had in those days was Tumah V'Tahara. No, remember, they submit to you, you have to be Tahor. All the things it says in the Chumash that we don't keep nowadays. Do you really trust people who are not so observant, who are not so learned to keep all those rules and avoid touching things and going into a house that there was a dead body on the other side of the house, etc.? It's really hard. Everything's Tommy, every dead animal and every dead rodent and people and a Balkari and a Nida and just regular life is always Tumah floating around, not to mention if you have a, you know, someone passes away and you go to the funeral, how do you know all the halachas? It must be really hard in those days, not the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the days of Chazal at least, or the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Jews were divided into Chaverim and Ami Haaretz, the people who were the in-click, who kept all the halachas properly, and the Amaratzim, the ignorant people who didn't. And that made it really hard. There are a lot of stories about how hard it was to get along. Chazal say an amazing thing in 24. I'll just say it outside. In Yerushalayim, in the Aliyah L'Regel, when they came to Yerushalayim three times a year for Aliyah L'Regel, there was no Amoritz. Everyone was trustworthy for all of Tumah V'Tahara. Everyone would eat everyone's food. Everyone would use everyone's utensils. Everyone would trust everyone in Halacha. How that worked, the Mefarshim sweat a lot trying to figure out how it works. Like, how can I trust people who are not so learned, who are ignorant, who don't really know the Torah so well, who don't maybe care so much? Okay, maybe in Yerushalayim everyone cares a little more, but somehow it works. They darshan a pasuk. The Yerushalayim is Ir Shechubra Lo Yachdav. It's a city that, and Yerushalayim, in one foot of my town, we even had the minute to say that last night at Davening. Ir Shechubra Lo Yachdav. It brings everyone mechaber, chaver, makes everyone a chaver. It says, there's no Ama Aretz Yerushalayim. Everyone's a chaver. Yerushalayim equalizes everyone. I don't know how it works, and you have to learn a whole sugya of how it works and how that's relevant to our lives, which is not for now. But somehow in Yerushalayim, when they went up to the Beis HaMikdash to serve Hashem in Yerushalayim, they served Hashem together. There were no groups, there were no levels, there was no less from, more from. Everyone came together. Yerushalayim had that secret to bring everyone together. Now, if I'm going to have to ask Mechila later, or even now from Rav Yamina, I'm eating into his time. I'm supposed to finish at 11:30. But he knew, he saw my rabbinic ordination, and therefore he knew that 11:30 for me means 11:50. So he knew what he was getting into. So I have to tell you an amazing story that happened, not to me, but that happened about 3,000 years ago, odd. Around 3,000 years ago. An amazing story that happened with David HaMelech. And come back to what we mentioned earlier. How was Yerushalayim chosen? Let me ask you a question. This is the big politics. You want to know the big politics in the time of David HaMelech? I don't mean stam politics. I mean religious politics. Very simple. The Chumash says, build the Beis HaMikdash where? In four words? B'makom asher yivchar Hashem. If you read the Chumash, where might you think to build the Beis HaMikdash? Is a place God would choose. I don't mean with Midrashim. I mean just read the Chumash. Where might you think to build the Beis HaMikdash? That's a really good holy place that God would choose. What? Well, Har Sinai is not in Israel, so I don't know if I'd pick that. How about cities in Israel? You read the Chumash. What cities in Israel are nice and holy? You got to go to Bereishis, right? Hebron. Hebron's pretty holy, right? Asher Garsham Abraham Yitzchak, right? The Ma'arit HaMachpelah. That Hebron's pretty holy. Okay, that would be my first option. What would be my second option, maybe? Beit El. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash is the gates to heaven. And what happened in Beit El? Yaakov dreamed and he saw the ladder up to Shemayim and he said, Ein Zeki and Beit Elokim, the house of God, was Eshara Shemayim. Okay, it's the gates to heaven, the house of God. You know what I changed my mind? Beit El is my first choice. Hebron's my second choice. Okay, maybe you could say Be'er Sheva, but that wasn't so exciting. Beit El and Hebron, that seems like good choices to me. Does anyone know who actually did pick Beit El? Who picked Beit El? Yerav Ben Nevat, right? He put two Egelim, one in Beit El. He wasn't crazy. He had a good svara. He probably convinced a lot of people. What's Yerushalayim? Is Yerushalayim in the Chumash? And they'll tell you that the Akedah Yitzchak is in Yerushalayim. Yeah, that's what David will tell you. It doesn't say that in the Chumash. They'll tell you a lot of things. It's not in the Chumash. Beit El is Beit El, Kim, and Shar Shemayim. Yerushalayim had a good case. He was wrong. Don't worry. But how did David pick Yerushalayim? Now, David picked Yerushalayim. The fire came down after the play, but he was in Yerushalayim before that. How did he pick Yerushalayim? How did he know to pick Yerushalayim? And I'm going to just teach you Pshat and the Chumash, and it's an amazing thing how he picked Yerushalayim. Look at 26. Vayivol kol shevteish al David chavrona vayomru leimor hinenu atzmachov zareinu anachlu. All the Shvatim of Israel came to David in Chevron. He was in Chevron. That's where he lived. That's where he was the prince of Shevet Yehuda. And they said, we're all your flesh and blood. Gam et bol gal shoshom biyot sha'ol melech aleinu atayitim otziyam ayim biyit Yisrael. Even yesterday and the day before when Shaul was king, you brought us in and out. You fought our wars. Vayomer shalach atat ra'etam Yisrael. And we believe that God really sent to you. All of Klal Yisrael, we accept you as king. We know Hashem really sent to you. It was a nevuah amitit that you should shepherd Am Yisrael. Vatati yal nagidu Yisrael, you be the king. All the Ziknei Yisrael elders came to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron, lifnei Hashem, vayimshchu es David l'melech ha'Yisrael. And they anointed David to be king. Ben shloshim shana David melchor v'im shana olach. And he was 30 years old, he was king for 40 years, died at 70 as we know. So far it sounds very poshut. Where should David's capital city be? Hebron, that's where they appointed him king. Where should he build the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe also Hebron. What happens? You have to indict this pasuk. In Hebron, he ruled over Yehuda 7.5 years, and in Yerushalayim, he ruled over all of Am Yisrael for 33 years. What's the difference in Hebron and Yehuda? Geographically, Where is Hebron and where is Yerushalayim? Hebron is smack in the middle of Shevet Yehuda. Hebron is the capital of, it's like Albany or Trenton, right? The capital of Shevet Yehuda is Hebron. What's Yerushalayim? It's a place where a bunch of Goyim live, Yevusim. Great, it's a place with a bunch of Goyim. That doesn't impress me. What's special about Yerushalayim, anyone? Why did David move to Yerushalayim? 7 years he was in Hebron. Why did he establish his capital, his kingdom in Yerushalayim?
It's the border between Yehuda and
Binyamin. What was the fight? Shaul from Binyamin versus David from Yehuda. What was the fight all the way back to Parshas Vayetze? B'nai Rachel? Like Binyamin and Yosef? Yosef was right next to Binyamin. Versus B'nai Leah, represented by Yehuda and Shimon right there. Right? The big fight was, the two big sects of Jews were, right? The B'nai Leah and the B'nai Rachel. The Yehudaites and the Binyaminites and Yosefites. What did they offer David? They said, be our king in Hebron. You could be our king in Hebron where you're comfortable in your box in Shevet Yehuda. What did he say to them? He said, I know I could be king in Hebron, but what does it mean for me to be king in Hebron? Means I'm the king of Yehuda and Yehuda is the king of all the Shvatim. Means my Shevet's better than your Shevet. That's what it means to be king in Hebron. He says, I don't want to be that kind of king. I don't want to be the king that says my kind of Jew is in charge of your kind of Jew and that's why I'm the king. I want to move my capital to no man's land, to exactly on the border. I want it to be a place which will take away from all the Shvatim, which will belong to everyone equally. Where did Chazal get this idea that it belongs to everyone equally? Pashut. Because David HaMelech says, I want someplace that's not shaykh to everyone. I want someplace that says, I'm not just a king of my kind of Jew of Yehuda. I'm a king of all Jews equally. I care about all Jews equally. And I'm not king because my kind of Jew is better. I'm a king because all kinds of Jews are equal. And that's why it says he ruled over Yehuda 7 years in Hebron. But when he moved to Yerushalayim, he ruled over Yisrael Yehuda. Maybe that's why Hashem chose Yerushalayim. Hashem says, Yerushalayim's a place where you're moving to show that you're not a king because your kind of Jew is better. You're a king over all the Jews because all Jews are equal and you love all Jews equally. If that's what Yerushalayim means to you, then I'm picking that for the Beit HaMikdash, because the Makom Avodah has to be Mishutaf Lakol, a place of Beit HaMikdash has to be a place where all Jews are equal, not where one kind of Jew is better than another kind of Jew. It's an amazing thing. Could you imagine nowadays if, you know, like the Knesset elections we just had, right? So what happens in the Knesset election? Like the right-wing faction wins, this and that. Okay, maybe we agree with them. That's not the point. Could you imagine if someone, a party got 61 seats in the Knesset, they didn't need a coalition, right? That's what David did. He got 61 seats. He didn't need a coalition. And what does he do when he gets 61 seats in the Knesset? He says, you know what? I want to make a coalition, give everyone equal ministers in the government. Because we want this government to be about Klal Yisrael, not just about my party. It's hard to imagine because we don't have people on the Madrig of David HaMelech nowadays. Bibi Netanyahu is a very wonderful fellow, perhaps, but David HaMelech, he ain't. But that's what David HaMelech said. He founded Yerushalayim. The whole idea of Yerushalayim, it was Yavus, it was a Goyish town. The whole reason Yerushalayim became a Jewish town was to say, I'm not king because my kind of Jew is better. I'm king because all kinds of Jews are equal. By the way, I'm not teaching American history now. But the founding fathers, they read the Chumash, they read the Tanakh, they were inspired by the Chumash. Someone did a study, and they discovered that until Lincoln, the first 100 years of the United States, in inaugural addresses, they quoted the Jewish Tanakh 10 times more than the New Testament, even though they're all Christians. But they looked for inspiration in the Tanakh. They said, no, we want to follow God. We know we're Christians, but we want to see what God has to say about founding a nation. And what did they do when they wanted to make a capital of the U.S.? What were the two factions then? The North and the South. What did they do for a capital? Did they make it a Northern state or a Southern state? They made Washington, D.C. in between the Northern states and the Southern states. Where did they get that idea from? You look at the founding fathers. They got that idea from David HaMelech. They said, you know what? If we want unity, that means neither side can win. That means it has to be no one wins and no one loses, but we're all equal. They got that idea from David HaMelech. And I think that, okay, we're not getting into Makor number 27. It's interesting that later in life, this is an interesting lesson, by the way. When you do the right thing, do you always live happily ever after, or sometimes you have to suffer when you do the right thing? Sometimes you have to suffer, and it's good to do the right thing anyway. David HaMelech suffered for this. Anyone know what the worst thing that happened to him in his life after that was? The Merit of Shalom. Where did Merit of Shalom start? In Hebron. The elders of Hebron went after Avshalom and rebelled and kicked him out of his palace and tried to kill him. Why? Maybe they were resentful that they had all the power. They had a capital in Hebron, right? And they were the best shaven. And all of a sudden, David is here with his equality. And they were very upset at him. And he almost lost his life for that. But it was worth it. Yerushalayim, I think clearly the message for us is Yerushalayim means Yushalayim, David HaMelech, means I'm out of our comfort zone. I don't just care about my kind of Jew, to care about all Jews. That the ideal is not that my kind of Jew should be in charge and tell everyone else what to do. The ideal is that we all get together and no one's better or worse than anyone else. The ideal is that somehow we work it out, how we are Kol Yisrael Chavirim, that we don't have to be more from and less from, that all Jews can share their food, all Jews can eat together. The ideal is, as the Rambam says, Makam Avodam Mishutaf Lakol, even if it's hard, even if it requires sacrifice, that real Avodas Hashem means all of Am Yisrael together, and even if something belongs to me and something belongs to you, like Yehuda and Yamin, Yushalayim means we can give up what belongs to us, we can give up our rights, we don't have to get everything we can. It's worth it to give up what belongs to us personally in order to help Klal Yisrael. And on this day of Yom Yerushalayim, it's interesting. They talk about it's the Yom, sometimes called Ichud Yerushalayim, Unity of Yerushalayim. Unity of Yerushalayim means half it used to be in Arab control, and then we unified the city of Yerushalayim. But we're not just unifying the city of Yerushalayim. It's not just Yerushalayim is the object. We unified Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is also the subject. Ichud Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim unifies us. And in Yom Yerushalayim really means celebrating the fact that there's one capital of the Jewish people, there's one Makom HaMikdash, there's one place that even if right now it's so hard to get all the Jews to be together and to get all the Jews to appreciate one another, someday in the future we know that's going to happen because we'll have one Beit HaMikdash and we'll all come together as Kol Yisrael Chavirim, and it's up to us to each do our little part to move one step closer to that ultimate Geula. And if, like David HaMelech, we do our little part to step out of our boxes and to appreciate all different kinds of Jews and to realize that it's not about winning or losing, it's about being together in Avodat Hashem, then that'll bring us one step closer to the real Geula and to see the real building of Yerushalayim with the Beit HaMikdash from Hei Yameinu, Amen. Thank you very much, everyone, for participating, and I hope it was good to see you again soon, to see you again sometime.